Good morning, sunshine. 7 a.m. on Saturday. Time to talk to your favorite handyman.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You've been my go-to guy for years.
So cozy up with your coffee or get to work. But whatever you do, keep that radio on. And tuned in to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou.
Who's better than Lou? Nobody.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good day, sunshine.
7:10 in the morning. Good day. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com, Ace Hardware, and by Fox Home Center. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Give a call in. Say good morning to Lindsay, who is in there. And this baby is coming any minute, and she's in a little black dress this morning.
The baby? Oh.
Hi.
Hi. The baby or me?
Well, the baby's coming any day,
yes.
And you're in a little black dress.
Yes, baby is going to be here in about 3 weeks.
Wow.
And I am in a little black dress. Anything that fits me.
And how are you feeling? I know you had
a
doctor's appointment. We didn't talk about it. All
I
good?
Did. Everything was good. Very She's measuring nice. Well. She's not small.
No. Lindsay was saying to me, we were talking, chatting yesterday. She's like, I feel like I'm going to have this baby tonight.
She is not. I am on my way, my friend.
That's good. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're excited.
That's
but yes,
good.
Feeling good. A little tired, but.
Yeah. Steve's a little tired, too, but you're not pregnant, are you?
I am not pregnant.
You have a nice little black dress going on as well. I mean, people haven't seen that.
A little queasy in the mornings. I don't think it's related.
And Adam Chappelle, are you here this morning with us?
I am.
Yeah, nice to have you here this morning. Good
Always
morning.
Good to be here.
Yeah, very nice to have you here. A lot coming up on today's show. Obviously, your phone calls until 10 o'clock this morning. We have a terrific Noodaloo 2. All I'm going to tell you is it's a centipede. The theory is like a centipede, and it is a really cool. That's all I'm going to tell you. Pay attention to that coming up at 7:50 this morning. And then, Steve, last week, a gentleman called in and was getting ready to sell his house. I can't remember exactly where he was. And he goes, you know, I'm getting ready to sell this house, and I built this trellis, and I didn't use a permit. And is that anything I got to disclose? And I was like, you know, I don't think you got to tell anybody. I mean, did you do it right? And we had this long conversation. Then this friend of mine, who's a realtor up in Wisconsin, Bob Webster, texted me and said, well, you know, in Wisconsin, we have to disclose all this stuff. And I thought, you know, I'm not a realtor, and I haven't sold a house now. Back when I was building and renovating homes, the disclosure form thing was not part of the state of Illinois. So I haven't bought or sold a house in several years. And so I said, Lindsay, let's do this. Let's get a hold of a realtor and a real estate attorney to come on and talk about these disclosures and, you know, what has to be.
So what you have to disclose and what you can hide.
Right, exactly. You're getting ready to sell a house. And, you know, what are the things that are required by the state of Illinois? I mean, we'll just specifically talk about the state of Illinois, even though I know that this show reaches many states. But, you know, a lot of the Midwestern states sort of mimic the same kind of requirements. Nobody would come on with us.
Really?
That's what they were. Chicken. Yeah, the realtor was worried that they would give out some wrong information, and, you know, it's really the lawyers. I said, because initially I said, let's get a realtor. And so then Lindsay said, well, the realtor doesn't want to come on because, you know, if they say something wrong, you know, it's really the lawyers that handle this. I said, okay, well, let's do this. Let's have a realtor and a lawyer. Then even the lawyers wouldn't come on.
Multiple lawyers.
Oh, no, we don't want to talk about it. So I'm thinking to myself, well, fine, then I'm going to do it all.
Are you afraid?
No.
Right.
I mean, it's the disclosure thing that comes from the state of Illinois. If I read the stupid list, I mean, that's the list, right? And my whole point was, okay, to have the lawyer, the person that does this all the time, to say, you know, you've got to be, say this. And so then the realtor would say, yeah, you know, and a lot of times, like, give us a little nudge as to why that's important. Or, you know, have you ever lost any deals because people have done that? Or, you know, is it a deal breaker, whatever?
Did you offer to garble their voice like they could have spoken
right, I was
behind
gonna,
a screen?
Right, or? What I was going to do is have them in a shadow. Well, the garble voice thing, that would have been good. I didn't think of that. That would have been very good. So anyway, you're all a bunch of chickens and you don't need to be afraid. That's what the chicken sounds like. Yep. And
for example, do you have to disclose that you used to have chickens in your backyard?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And You know, you can actually have chickens in the city of Chicago.
In some places, yeah.
Yeah, and the suburbs. What?
I want them.
No, you don't.
No, I do.
Yeah.
I've heard that they're very easy and clean.
Oh, my gosh. We did a story on House Smarts. If you go to housesmartstv.com, there's a whole thing on residential chicken farming. And we went to Brooklyn in New York, where they have no land whatsoever. And in this little apartment, they happen to have this small little thing in the backyard where they had chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get a dozen eggs a week out of these two chickens. And they were Polish chickens.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They were beautiful. They weren't like white chickens. They had this tuft of, like a plume coming out of their heads. Mm-hmm. You buy them, they send them to you in the mail, in a box. And the woman that we were there, they had two young children and the husband and wife that lived in this little place in Brooklyn, the borough of Kings. And the chickens follow them around like dogs.
No way.
When you get them like little chicks, there's an attachment to them, which I wonder. I mean, I'm not a farmer, but I bet the farmers would say the same thing. They, you know,
oh,
they
yeah.
stick
I mean,
around.
That's a famous Foghorn Leghorn episode where the chicks followed Foghorn. Don't
oh,
you remember that?
Oh, I do remember yeah. that. Yeah.
Lindsay, I don't think they're clean.
I really have heard, and I bet there's people listening right now.
I'm going to tell you right now.
They're not as dirty as you think.
No, so they had this, little house that they lived in that was surrounded by chicken wire, right? The house was called an igloo, okay?
Ba-dum-bum.
That's what it was called. It was this fiberglass whatever, and it had a little door where they would go in the morning and pick up, and the eggs were these pastel colors. Hmm. There were and supposedly there's less cholesterol from these type because they're relaxed. Evidently, when they're stressed, you get more cholesterol.
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, I have friends who have had them too, and
it didn't smell at all. It did not smell at all.
And they were in the house?
No, they weren't in the house. They were all outside. But when they were outside, they followed the people around.
Right.
And it was the most amazing thing you ever want to see. And here were these little kids, running out there, and they open up the door, and they grab the eggs. And then there were this, you know, a dozen eggs between the two chickens a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm sticking to the idea that I think there's some shoveling involved.
Well,
sure, you have to clean it. But I think that in my head, it's like...
I think it's
super dirty, but I've heard that it's not as dirty as you think.
Coyotes
are
that's a problem. And even in Brooklyn, that you get foxes and coyotes and stuff. That's why they had
I know guys spent thousands of dollars for his dozen eggs to protect the chickens from coyotes.
But they're fresh.
Yeah.
And I remember...
Look at the color.
My friend Mike Jakubowski, who you hear me talk about, he's fishing in Canada right now. But when he lived in Wisconsin, he worked on a chicken farm, and he used to have to shut, you know, and they keep them on a platform where they are on the fencing or whatever, and they poop through the fencing.
Right.
And then you got to go every now and then a chicken falls through somehow and in the chicken poop.
Salad.
And you got to go and get him. And he said, I've never in my life then or now smelled anything as nasty as that. Good morning, everybody, at 7:18.
Lindsay.
But that was thousands of chickens. So that's a different story. Anyway, how do we get on that topic?
We're talking about Lindsay's baby, I think.
How do we get on chickens?
The realtors.
Oh, the realtors,
oh, yeah,
right. They were
chickens.
They're all a bunch of chickens. You lawyers and you realtors, you're out there to help people. Don't be a chicken.
I love this show.
I know. So I couldn't remember how we got there. Okay, so we'll talk about the chickens later at 8:30 this morning. Right now, let's take a quick call because Nick is in Lindsay's hometown of Kenosha. Nick, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How can I help you, sir?
Well, my mother-in-law has a house, and it smells of mildew, and especially down in the basement. What can we do to get rid of it?
Tell me about the basement. Is the basement finished or unfinished?
Unfinished.
Okay. And when you go walking around the basement, do you see any evidence of mildew or mold on the walls, on the floor? Is it super damp?
Not really, but it is damp down there.
Okay.
But we do have a dehumidifier going, but it just doesn't...
It's not enough.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. This does she have a window down there?
She has four of them, actually.
Full size?
They're probably about 18 by 30.
Okay. How handy of a guy are you, Nick?
Handy.
Okay.
Very handy.
Is the glass in such a manner, like a divided light, that you could take a piece of glass out?
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to take a piece of glass out, and I want you to cut and fit a piece of thin plywood that's going to go in that one opening where you took the piece of glass out, and I want you to mount an exhaust fan.
Okay.
And I want you to have that exhaust fan fit a small one. And, you know, if you're going to buy one, get one that's a little quieter. The sewn level of a fan, there'll be a CFM, which how much air it moves, and then there'll be a sewn level. The lower that number, and you want something lower than 2.5, the more quiet it is. If you buy the cheapy Brone, you know, that thing's running like a jet engine. And you want to have something that moves at least 200 CFMs a minute. Wire that in and wire it to a humidistat. So the switch you're going to have it plugged into is going to be humidistat. And set that to 60% or 50%. And that's going to draw all that air out of there. And in a perfect world, like right now, I mean, it's just so damp, right? It's terrible for people with damp basements already. But if you can open up a window on the other side to draw some air across and pull that away, that, coupled with your dehumidifier on a humidistat, it's going to help eliminate the problem. And then, you know, things like Freshwave Crystal Gel, which is an odor neutralizer, if you put that down there, air movement is what really helps that stuff work. And so if you put a couple of the crystal gel down there, that's going to work as well.
Box fans maybe too to help.
Box fans, any kind of air you move. But the key is I got to get the air out of there. And that's where that exhaust fan comes from.
Great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You
have a good day.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. 7:21 in the morning. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Don't go away. 7:27 in the morning, 312-981-7200. That's also our text line if you'd like to text us. After 9:30 this morning, we'll do our Just Text Me segment brought to you by, it's going to soon be brought to you by someone, Lindsay. We're doing a good job here, just so you know. Here's Eric in the South Suburbs. Eric, you're on WGN. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Lou. In a nutshell, I want my lawn.
You need some help getting out of that nutshell, or are you all right?
I'm okay, but I'm trying to get my lawn to look like the front package of Scott's Turf Builder.
Okay.
It's green, lush. The blades of grass that I have in the lawn, the house is on 3/4 acre, so it's a pretty good-sized lot, just don't seem thick, healthy, strong blades of grass. Is it too late to reseed it?
No. And I am going to give you a little advice on how to bring that lawn back. And
that's why I called.
What I want you to do is you're going to hold on.
Okay.
And in 4 weeks, I'm going to call you back. And we're going to see if my test works.
Okay.
You got to pet. Go ahead.
Well, I've got a good memory. I won't need to write it down.
All right.
Now, I dethatched it. I bought a dethatcher, a tow-behind dethatcher.
Okay.
And you would not believe the amount of hay. It came out. You could almost bale it and put it on a farm someplace.
Right.
I did that, and I was thinking, is it too late to aerate it? Is it, you know, because it's never been aerated, at least for probably 10 or 15 years. I don't think it's been aerated.
Here's what you're going to do. The thatching is really kind of one of the best things you can do. But if you can aerate it now, go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want you to buy two products. Actually, I want you to buy three products.
They're
all by Jonathan Green. Jonathan Green is the maker. And where are you in the South Suburbs?
Homewood Flossmoor area.
Okay, so go to your Ace, because you can only get this at an Ace or an independent garden center.
They know me well over there.
All right, so I want you to get a bag of Jonathan Green Magic Cal.
Magic Cal.
Jonathan Green, love your lawn, love your soil.
Got it.
Yeah, hate the name, love the product. And I want you to spread that out all over that lawn, okay?
Okay.
A week later, you don't need to water it, but a week later, I want you to also, while you're at the store, you're going to buy their Black Beauty grass seed. Now, I assume this front lawn gets a lot of sun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to buy their Black Beauty grass seed, and okay. you're going to sprinkle that over what you just treated with this lawn.
Okay.
And in 4 weeks, I'm going to call you back, and it's going to look better than the picture on the front of that bag. And if you can put a little peat moss over the top of that, that helps the seed to germinate a little bit because it holds more moisture. Not that
right.
we have that issue now, but if you do those things, you're 4 weeks away from a carpet.
That's what I'm looking to achieve.
All right, hang on a second. Lindsay's going to get your information, and we're going to call you back in. Well, who's going to call him back in 4 weeks? Not you, right? You're going to be with baby. Who's going to call her back?
I think it'll be Jasmine Cooper.
Jasmine.
Jazzy.
Jazzy's going to call him back. So
she's
get.
Good.
She's great.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all
and now
about
back to your host, who's all about those baseboards. Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm all about that bass, yeah, it's pretty clear.
7:37 in the morning. Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number and the text line as well. I want to tell you about, you know, at House Smarts, the TV show that I produce and co-produce and host, we have this garage makeover contest going on. So if you go to housesmartstv.com and register, you could win all these awesome products for your garage. How's your garage look, Steve?
It's a mess, Lou.
Well, you need to go register for this. You're eligible.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm eligible?
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
You don't have anything to do with House Smarts TV.
No, I don't.
No. But you could win all this cool stuff, and we got a bunch of products. And it's not, you don't get any of the work. We're not doing any work, but we're sending you all this stuff to organize your garage. So you got to do the work.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah. You're a handy guy.
I'll start by sweeping out all the cottonwood.
Oh, my gosh. So we were filming some episodes of House Smarts this past week.
Right.
The cottonwood, and, you know, we filmed the whole thing in HD. So the cameras pick up everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it was snowing outside.
You know, we lose all our ash trees. We lose our elm trees. Why can't we come up with a pest for the cottonwood trees?
Wow, when that comes down, it is really something else. I was just hearing Adam Chappelle talk about the farmer's market that's going on. And you're a gardener, aren't you?
Yes.
How's the garden look now?
Well, you know, I was listening to Max and Orion this morning, and they were talking about how there's been so little sunshine.
Yeah.
So everything's, you know, obviously, I haven't had to water all year.
Right.
But, and some crops are going well, but I think we're almost getting too much water and we need some sunshine.
Need a little heat and sunshine, yeah.
My zinnias are starting to show their mildew already. It's too early for that.
I know. You need a spray for that.
For the mildew?
Yeah.
Yeah?
They make that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Seven? You ever use that?
Well, I do when my wife's not looking, yes.
Well, but no, that's not a... Zinnia is what?
Zinnia's a flower.
Oh, yeah. So the only thing I don't like about the powders is that it messes up the look of the plant.
If you put a powder on it.
Well, right. But there's sprays that you can use. Like, what's that? Bonide has a spray called Captain Jack's, which is a broad spectrum... it helps for bugs and also for disease.
I don't think that will help with the mildew on flowers, though, will it?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Really?
Well, not Captain Jack's, no. Not Seven. I'm mixing that up. What do you want? You want, there's another product. It'll come to me. That's a spray.
I'll be right here.
Yeah, but it does work. 312-981-7200 is a phone number. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This is Bonnie in Palos Heights. Hi, Bonnie. You're on WGN.
Well, great to talk to you, Lou. I'm having issues with a drainage system. My sump pump is backing up and outside, but it's because of the grading of the ground. So I'm looking for somebody to do a combination of grading, landscaping, patio, maybe some brickwork.
Mm-hmm. All the way down in Palos Heights?
Yes.
All right. So I have a great landscaper for you, but I'm not sure that he's going to go all the way there. But I will give you his number off the air. But the place to start then is even the landscapers, many of them are members of the National Association of the Remodeling Industry.
Okay.
And so if you went to NARI.org, you could find landscapers that would do work in that area that are members of that organization that'll do brickwork and drainage system. That whole drainage thing, you really need somebody that knows what they're doing.
I know.
You can't just be willy-nilly.
That's exactly why I'm calling for a good guy.
All right, hang on a second. I have a really good guy. I just don't know that he goes down to the south side. So just hold on, and then I'll in a minute I'll give Lindsay the phone number for you to call. 312-981-7200. This is Gary in Westmont. Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to know the main difference between a hammer drill and an impact or compact drill, and which one would be more useful around a home. Because I'm confused what the big difference is between the two.
Okay. So a hammer drill is really more of a you mean the difference between a hammer drill and a compact drill driver what is it that you want to do, Gary?
Well, I have just a regular home, and I want to drill into cement, and my house is made out of brick.
Right.
Hang things off the inside of the brick. I have a sunroom and have a brick wall, and I want to drill holes in it, and I don't know really the difference between the two.
Right. So an impact driver is, a lot of times at the hardware stores and the home centers, you'll find these deals on these cordless drills. That'll be like a cordless drill and an impact driver.
Right.
A lot of electricians and plumbers who are doing a lot of unistrut work, and they're drilling into brick. And if you're doing, half a dozen holes a day, these little cordless impact drivers with the right bit could do what you're doing. Okay.
Okay.
It's a specialty tool that for a homeowner would be great. And you can usually get those sets. I think I recently saw DeWalt has a set that's, $169 or something like that for a lithium ion battery two drill set. And you kind of get the best of both worlds.
Okay.
A hammer drill is really more of it's a professional tool, but if you're drilling tons of holes, if this is, if you're working on a highway crew and you've got to drill through concrete slabs to put in rebar, then you want a heavy duty, a hammer drill. And
okay.
That's really just a drill. That's all it is. Now, the nice thing about that impact driver is that you can put different bits on there, and you can put a nut driver on there. So once you drill that hole, you can change the bit out, and you can use it to drive the screw into the hole that you just put in there after the anchor goes in.
Oh, okay.
Or an impact driver is great for putting in tapcons, which are concrete anchors that go right into the mortar, and you can
you
swap it out. So for you, an impact driver is great, and I will tell you, depending on the age of your cordless drill, you might be better off to go buy one of these sets where you got the two drills together. It's a good value, and you'll probably never wear that thing out.
Oh, okay. And you need special drills for these also, right?
I'm sorry. So you need special bits for them.
Drills for these compact.
Yeah,
and the hammer drills.
You need special bits to go in them. Correct, but those are available as well when you go buy the unit. So the accessory pack will be something separate that you buy, but it'll crank right into it.
Oh, thank you very much.
You got it.
Impact drills, what I need.
You got it. Take care. Appreciate you calling this morning. 7:44 in the morning. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, it'll be time for our Noodaloo 2. And remember that we vibe score. I was thinking, Lindsay, what we have to start doing with the vibe score. The John Williams vibe score. When these PR people send us this equipment to do this kind of stuff, when these PR people say, "Oh, we'd love you to review the Igloo Party Barge, Party Bar," right? And you got to tell them this is how we're gonna grow the users, right? We got to tell them, "Oh, we're going to vibe score it." And then all these PR people that all like to be connected, then they'll download the app for their Apple device, and then they'll see what the vibe score is. And for a company, it's really a neat idea to find out, well, what do people really think? Because I have no money to market this thing. I send this stuff to Lou, and if he likes it, he talks about it. So now they go to the vibe score, and they see what people like. And John Williams, sends us a little update and what the vibe score was or whatever, and we talk about that each week. So go to the App Store if you have an Apple device, download the Vibe Score, and you'll see all the things, and you can play along with our Noodaloo 2 that's coming up right after this. 7:50 in the morning. It's time now for our Noodaloo 2, sponsored by the all-new Chevy Trax Compact SUV. It's awesome, and it fits a guy like me. Do we remember how I found out about the centipede? There's somebody I know that knows the centipede people. Right? Do you remember that? Did we talk about this?
I don't remember You just sent me the email. It was from Keith Fryer, I believe his name is.
Yeah, but there's some kind of connection. Oh. Somebody said, oh my gosh, my friend Keith invented this thing and he's got this great product. And I looked at it immediately and I thought, huh, that's really cool. It comes from a company called Centipede Tool LLC. This is our Noodaloo 2 this week. And it's something that you can do. Well, you listen to what Lindsay has to say and then I'll tell you more about it.
This week's Noodaloo 2 is the ultimate portable work support system. It's called the Centipede because it looks like a giant centipede or accordion or pop-up tent. It's a heavy-duty table or workbench base that sets up in seconds without assembly and folds down into a compact, lightweight unit for easy transport and convenient storage. Featuring a unique steel frame design, the Centipede portable work system is constructed of multiple steel struts that rest directly between the load and ground to support an incredible amount of weight while keeping even the thinnest sheet materials from sagging. So you basically just unaccordion the Centipede and lay your plywood, sheet metal, whatever material you're working with, right on top to create a workstation. It's available in two models, the 2x4 Centipede Sawhorse that has a capacity of up to 1,500 pounds, or the 4x8 Centipede Support XL, which can hold up to 3,000 pounds. Each kit comes with a storage bag for easy transportation. It's available at select Lowe's, select Home Depots, Rockler and Schaumburg, Midwest Siding Supply in Elk Grove Village and Montgomery. The 2x4 Sawhorse goes for $49 and the 4x8 XL goes for $99. You can find out more and watch a cool video on how it works at centipedetool.com. I'll put all this information up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page at WGNradio.com, also on his Facebook. And I'm also going to put a little post up on Lou's group on Vibe Score. So what do you think about the Centipede? Let us know. Vibe about it. Just download the free app, Vibe Score.
That's this week's New to Lou 2.
You know what they're missing on this thing? Steve, So we have a camera system here.
There's a little Swiss chard and kale from my garden.
Right as I say, Steve, he's leaning over the counter and he's putting a mouthful of something in his mouth and he kind of drops it to go right to the microphone.
Some wilted
sorry,
vegetables I made last night.
Sorry, I should have looked before.
That's okay.
May I say where your daughter is working in the evenings?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so Steve and Sharon's beautiful daughter, Emma, works at Ravinia.
Yes.
She has like 14 jobs.
I was just there.
Last night, on Thursday.
Did you see her?
I did not.
Oh. I can rent a chair from her. She's in the chair rentals.
Oh, is she? Oh, okay.
Hello.
All right. So this centipede is something that Ravinia needs to buy and use as tables at Ravinia when there's large groups. Okay, Steve, you know the pop-up tents that you buy, you know, for $99 or whatever. So you know the little bit of crisscross hardware that kind of brings the whole thing out?
Mm-hmm.
This is a giant not a giant version. It's a small version of it that when you pull it out, it creates a tabletop.
So it's like a squeeze box that you pull out.
It's exactly like a squeeze box that you pull out. And then you can put either a 4x4 piece of plywood on or thin. Like you could even use Luon, which is lightweight, or a 4x8. If you wanted to have a workstation. So for guys on the job site, having a place to work and put your stuff down and do stuff like a table, that's a big thing. You know, typically what will happen on a job site is you put a couple sawhorses out, they'll throw a sheet of plywood on, and that's the workstation. And the plywood's out of whack, and it's warped, and it's unlevel, and, you know, it's crazy. This thing expands completely out to a perfect 4x8 sheet. You clip the board on there. But because it's like that accordion, there's different points that support the piece of plywood underneath it. So in other words, once I fold this thing out, you and I could lie on this little thin piece of Luon, which is, you know, 1/4 inch thick, and it would be completely supported.
And it's easily moved around, it sounds like?
Well, then it's lightweight even when it's expanded. But then if you fold it all up, you throw it in the back of your pickup truck. But the people at Ravinia could rent this out. Lindsay, it's a deal. $50 for the small one and $99 for the big one, right? It's a bargain and a half. What do they rent the chairs for at Ravinia?
I do not know.
Really?
I know someone who gets mine for free. No, that's not true. I haven't been this year. I don't know.
But I bet they. I bet it's a pretty good buck. I bet it's.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Right. I bet it's $5 a chair.
Oh, I bet it is absolutely
right?
$5 a chair.
Right. And so you know you've and I haven't been to Ravinia now in a few years.
Lady Gaga tonight.
Oh my God! That, are you going?
Tony Bennett.
That's
no. I might
great.
Go tomorrow night. David Gray.
Can I tell you that I was rode an elevator with Tony Bennett.
Did
once.
You?
I was in New York, and he was doing that Christmas special thing that they do on top of 30 Rock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for the Today Show, and we'll talk about the Noodaloo too in a minute. And I was at the Today Show, and Tony and I was across the street, and they go, you know, Tony Bennett's recording across the street. Do you want to come see it? It's like, wow, that would be awesome. I go up in the elevator, and there's Tony Bennett on the roof singing, you know, White Christmas or whatever. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm standing from him. To where Lindsay is in the producer booth. I mean, you know, it's 15 feet away. And there's Tony Bennett, whatever. And then I was like, wow, that's really great. Thanks. And we walked back to the elevator, you know, thinking, you know, whatever. That was really a cool experience to see that. Elevator door opens up. I get on. Who gets in behind me? Tony Bennett. And I think his daughter or son who manages him.
Right.
Just the two of them. And I'm standing in an elevator with Tony Bennett. And
did you
I
talk
said,
to him?
I did. I said, Mr. Bennett, boy, you sounded great. Oh, you know, he's got that voice. Right. That's really great. Where are you from? And he couldn't have been nicer. I mean, he could have easily just said, thank you, and, you know, I'm Tony Bennett, don't bother me. But he was very nice and engaging.
He used to be around here a lot. He was tight with Roy Leonard.
Yes.
So he'd come in, and he would sit, you know, he's an artist, too.
He did a Ravinia poster once.
Did he?
Yeah, he painted, you know how Ravinia does a poster every year?
Yeah.
He did a poster, and we own it, we bought it, prior to this whole thing happening. Because it was beautiful. He's actually a very talented artist.
So he would sit there, and as Roy would interview him, he would do drawings.
Really?
And then give them to Roy. And I would sit there, and I'm like, I'm right here. Draw one of me. But yeah, a very fun guy.
Well, I'm telling you right now, the people at Ravinia who are ever in charge of the chairs and the tables, this thing is your new rental thing for two reasons. One, super lightweight for people to go around with, and the cool factor is the neatest thing ever. It expands out. You clip the table on there, and it's affordable. I am vibing this thing at a 85 on VibeScore. So go to VibeScore and take a look at it. Lindsay posted a video. I love that you can post the videos on the VibeScore thing. That's cool because it really brings it to life. And you can click on it and take a look at it. And one other thing. Last week was our party cooler, and it only vibed at a 49 collectively.
I know, your barge.
But here's what happened. This is what I like about the Vibe Score. Everybody says, great idea, a little expensive. So if you're the Igloo people, you want to know that. You know what I mean? Because they sit around, they do all this marketing, and they're like, boy, you know, this is a great idea, whatever. And then the head of sales says, why didn't it sell? Well, you know what? Everybody kind of thought it was too expensive. Right? The Centipede at $50 for the small one, $99 for the big one, deal of the century. If you're on a job site, you got to throw one of these on the back of your truck. It's awesome. You'll also put that information up on WGNRadio.com and Facebook. All right, it'll all be there.
Help, I need somebody.
We all need a little help sometimes. Don't be ashamed. We get tons of calls here on the Mr. Fix-It Show every week. Some normal.
This week we found a dead mouse and some mouse droppings under our sink.
I've got a small bathroom that has a shower in it. It's starting to peel on the ceiling.
And some not so normal.
I can't stop the squirrels from jumping from my patio table onto my screen door and peeing into my living room.
I get this in my wall.
But he takes them all. Now back to Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's 8:08 in the morning.
That's the noise a squirrel makes after it pees into the living room.
I'll show you. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by wetandforget.com and sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. That is too funny. That is funny. Okay, I want to switch gears quickly before I get back to your phone calls. This is a topic that I was traveling this week, and I heard about this story. Steve, you may have reported this, about the poisoning death in Highland Park of a couple from CO that left their car keys in the car, allegedly, mm-hmm. because it had one of those key fobs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading from the Chicago Tribune story right now. It says, for decades, American drivers generally had to do two things to get their car keys out of the ignition when they left the vehicle, put it in park and turn off the engine. But the new keyless ignitions have disrupted this habit. Now drivers can walk away from their key fobs and leave the motors running. Today's quieter engines also enhance the risk of motorists leaving their cars running without realizing it. A scenario can be deadly if the car is inside the garage or in another enclosed space. This is a story by Robert McCoppin and Susan Berger, by the way. That appeared to be what happened to a couple who were found dead in their Highland Park residence on Monday, last Monday. The couple's son, a lieutenant in the local fire department, said lethal levels of carbon monoxide accumulated in the home after the couple's 2013 Lincoln MKS was left running in the garage, possibly overnight. You bought a new car recently. Does your new car have a key or does it have a push button?
It has a key.
Yeah. So we have several cars in the Manfredini families, and one of them has the key fob that you can have in your pocket or your purse. My wife keeps it in her purse. And you get in the car and you push the button. And so the convenience of it's kind of nice. If the key's in your purse or in your pocket, you can walk up to the car. There's a button on the handle that you just push it and unlocks the doors because you have the key fob in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
However, you can leave the car without the keys. And you wouldn't know that car is running when the engine, because it's so quiet.
It's so quiet, right.
Okay. And so one of the things that this particular car does is, so what happens a lot is if my wife and I drive, she drives this car primarily, she literally keeps the keys in her purse all the time because she goes with her purse and it's with her and she gets in the car and goes. So if I'm driving the car and let's say could you take me to drop off at the mall or something? I'm going to run into the store, or run into the Jewel or whatever and get some food or buy something. She'll walk out with the car, but she'll have the keys in her purse and the car will honk the horn. It'll go beep, 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 beep to let you know that the key is gone.
Right.
But the car doesn't turn off when you walk away from it with the key. Now, if you shut the car off, if you push the button, then you can't restart it. You know what I mean?
Without the key, right.
Without the key. But it does give you some alert to this that the key is leaving, and I don't know if this Lincoln does the same thing.
But it only gives you an alert in the car.
It honks the horn.
Okay.
So as you're walking away, beep, 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 you hear the horn honking. It's a Chevrolet, by the way. I mean, it's not a, I'm not hiding what the car is in any respect, because this is a big issue with these. I've never been a fan of it, because one of the things that happens is, let's say you go out to dinner and you valet the car. All right, here you go. And the car's running. You jump out and you got the key in your pocket. And then the guy comes in, you're sitting at your table, sir, can I get the key to your car? They know the valet is right. I need this key. But there's this learning curve, and this story, if this is what happened, is a terrible tragedy.
It's something I never thought of. I never imagined.
The cars are so quiet now, the way they insulate them in the engines. I mean, my God, we could stand next to that Chevrolet with the car running, and you wouldn't even know it's running.
Mm-hmm.
It's so smooth, especially when it's on idle. And it's true of all manufacturers. I wonder if this ultimately is a smart idea for manufacturers to do this. I get the convenience and the cool factor of just pushing the button and starting the car, but that whole idea of taking a key out and a key in is a real one.
Well, what would you – so you would have the car turn off when the car leaves? I mean, that's one possibility, right?
That could be one piece of the technology. Or go back to having keys.
Right.
You know, go back to having keys. Because now you've – I mean – I assume on your car key, do you have your house keys on your car?
I know. I've never understood the idea. I mean, you know, frankly, I think I was presented with the idea of this option, and I'm like, well, why would I want to spend the money on that?
With the
push button.
Right.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not very attractive to me.
So a couple things. I don't know also if I can only assume, this is my assumption, there were lethal levels found in that enclosed area in the garage that actually permeated into the house. If you don't have a working carbon monoxide detector in your home right now, or you don't think you need one, or you don't have enough of them, you need to go to the store today and buy one, okay? So there should be a working smoke detector and carbon monoxide detector. You can buy combination ones if you want that are affordable, and it's a life-saving device. Carbon monoxide is a silent killer. It is the same atomic weight as air, so I don't care if the detector goes low or high, and you have to put one in your home. Do not think that it's only for houses with little kids. There needs to be one on every living space on your home. In particular, it should be placed near the staircases and near where you sleep, and you need to put them in today.
In defense of those who don't have them,
there's no excuse.
They seem harder than a smoke detector.
No. What does that mean, harder?
I've had them, and frankly, you know, you plug them in, and then it goes. It just doesn't seem as...
There is no
argument. For me, it's not an argument against it. I'm just saying it's not as easy as a smoke detector that you press and test once in a while.
I disagree, and I think that... So a couple manufacturers, obviously First Alert, it's a local company here. They're kind of the name in all this. They now have units that have 10-year batteries on them. They're lithium ion, so you put them up and you forget about them. And you vacuum them once a year, and you should test them regularly. But from a battery perspective, you don't have that worry. The combination units that are out there are, you know, you'll spend $50 on it. But let me tell you, that poor family, that poor couple in Highland Park, I mean, we're not even considering this. You have to have working carbon monoxide detectors. And then I'm going to go one step further. I have talked to different manufacturers about why is it we cannot have a carbon monoxide detector connected to the garage door.
What do you mean?
The garage door opener, most houses have a garage door opener.
Oh, so have it connected to the door opener.
Correct.
Right.
If lethal levels of carbon monoxide is detected in the garage, it opens the door.
Wow, that's a good one.
Right, but they won't do it because they're worried about the legal ramifications of it.
Of people being ripped off? Or
no, of, you know, whatever the parts per million are and, you know, how do you set it, whatever. Okay, so there are some facts about CO. So the World Health Organization recommends that the indoor air level of CO be below an average of 9 parts per million for any 8-hour period and below 25 parts per million from any 1-hour period. 1 part per million means part of CO per million parts of air. Now, nobody knows what that means. You know what I mean? How do you put that into context of what will kill you?
Right. Okay? And see, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's more complicated. I know you're saying it's not more complicated, but as a layman who looks at all of this stuff, you know, I've plugged in carbon monoxide detectors and they've gone off, and I'm like, well, that's a test. That's
Do you ever use eye drops?
Yes.
Like a Visine or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
How many drops would you say when you use a Visine you put in your eye?
I don't know, 2 or 3.
Okay. If I took a 5-gallon bucket of water and I filled it up with water, okay, a 5-gallon bucket, you can picture that. Now I take that little tube of Visine and I fill it with red water. So now you're going to see the color. And I put 3 drops into that 5-gallon bucket.
Mm-hmm.
You're dead. That's how much CO it takes if you continue to ingest that. And that detector is going to detect that. And it's going to save your life. So that the problem that the industry has is this whole parts per million thing, there's no relevance or context as to...
It's hard to grasp.
I can't even think about what a million is. That's, you know.
If I see smoke, I know that my smoke detector is going to go off.
Exactly. During the period of 1999 through 2010, a total of 5,149 deaths from unintentional carbon monoxide poisoning occurred in the United States, an average of 430 per year. Each year, 147 people die in cars from accidental carbon monoxide poisoning. Today, I could go to your house, Steve, with a soldering gun, and I could take an off-the-shelf carbon monoxide detector, and I could solder 2 little wires to the contacts and 2 little wires to your garage door opener, and now you would be protected by carbon monoxide in that garage, that if that detector went off, I could make the door open up. I could do that. Now tell me why the manufacturers can't do that and have it be an integrated thing, and they can, you know, so... That carbon monoxide detector is much more sensitive in your home. Make it a higher level in the garage. Because obviously when you drive your car in and you turn it off, there's a little carbon monoxide that comes out of the tailpipe.
Right.
You know, especially if you close the garage door right away. But these stories For all the manufacturers out there that are making this stuff, you guys got to step up to the plate and stop with the, I'm worried we're going to get in trouble, like the chickens that don't want to come in and talk about the real estate disclosure.
All right, so you just got a text. Look, what about this idea? Got a text that said, put an idle time limit on cars so that they would shut off after 10 or 15 minutes of idling.
I mean,
because that would solve other problems too.
Sure,
right?
it would. But we're putting more technology in. Just put the key back in. I mean, for the car thing,
right?
Just go back to the key. Right? I'm coming into my house, I got to turn the key off because I need the key to get in the door. That's the problem. It's in your pocket, you forget about it. And I'm telling you, this whole carbon monoxide connected to the garage door opener, this is common sense stuff. The technology's out there. You could do it in 2 seconds, and it needs to happen. But you got to stop talking about these stories, because this is fixable. This is easily fixed. And you know what? From the manufacturer side, people would pay for it. They'd pay for it in a second. All right. It's a sad story. The takeaway on this is, please go look at your carbon monoxide detectors and your smoke detectors. Make sure they're updated and make sure you have one on every single floor. And if you don't have one, go today to the hardware store or home center, wherever you find this stuff, and go buy it. That's it. You're buying a new house. Lindsay's buying a new house. Can we talk about this? Okay, Lindsay and David are buying a house. You're closing in July, right?
Yes.
Pretty soon.
That's a good time to move, Lindsay, with the 3-week-old.
Oh, we've thought about it.
Yeah. Right. She's a planner.
Uh-huh.
Right? And that's the first thing you're going to do when you go in that house and make sure all that stuff's updated.
That was in our inspection. We required them to put all the, because they were missing a few that were, you know,
It's unacceptable. It really is. It's
scary.
It's affordable safety. If you own a home, you got to do this. All right. 8:21 in the morning. We'll be back right after these. 8:27 in the morning, 312-981-7200. This is Rebecca in South Bend. Hi, Rebecca. You're on WGN.
Well, good morning, Lou. I was just listening to your story about the carbon monoxide detector in the car and how sad.
So sad.
How sad.
It's so sad.
Oh, gosh. And you know, your idea as to what you said with the wires and however, you really need to pursue this with someone that will be able to do something about this.
Well, I have, but they don't want to do it. I've had conversations with them, and you know, I'm not interested in making any money. I don't want to do any of that. I just want them to do the right thing.
You're just going to save lives,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
How can I help you?
I have a my mom and I, we live in a bi-level, and the basement, you know, which is finished and, you know, filled with a lot of stuff. However. And I need a dehumidifier. So when I measured the house as far as, you know, the length times the width, it comes to like, well, give or take, maybe like a little bit over 1,232 in square foot. So I need to know what size and what brand of a dehumidifier that will take all this moisture out of the basement.
Well, yeah. So the thing is that, you know, the kind that you buy that run off of regular 120 volts, you're probably the biggest one you're going to get is probably about 70 pints. And,
oh, okay.
And so, you know, if you have a floor drain, the trick with these is to, there's a attachment where you can connect a little piece of garden hose and go directly
See, where I need to put it at, the drain is like really too far away. I'd have to have like a 20-foot hose running all in the family room.
Oh, where it's all finished.
Yeah. So I would just have the container in the unit, you know, collect the water.
Well, right. And so the only problem with that is that you have to constantly change that. You know what I mean? Once it fills up, the unit shuts down. So the thing with dehumidifiers is if there's a back room that's unfinished and you can keep a door open, that will help to dehumidify the whole space.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to keep it.
There's one bedroom, and then there's, it's kind of like a living room, but having it in the basement, and it's all finished.
Right, but where's the floor drain?
In the washroom, which is like on the opposite end of the, you know, more at the other end of the living area in the basement.
Okay. I'm just trying to give you some advice on what the most efficient way to use that dehumidifier would be, is that if you put it in the center of the room, certainly it will take out that moisture there. But once that, if you're around enough, you're probably going to change that bucket or empty that bucket out twice a day.
Oh, wow.
So that's just a habit of, you know, you'll come down. When it fills up, it shuts off. That's what happens. If you put it in that mechanical room at that other end and you put a little hose on it and you run it all the time and put a fan, like a little box fan at the other end of the room on low to move some of that air across the room, you're going to find you're going to find that that's going to be a more efficient way of controlling the moisture and getting all that out of there. As far as brand name goes, my gosh, there's a whole slew of them. Pure Air is one. Solaire is another one. Some of the bigger manufacturers, Samsung, make them as well. And so you're just looking for something that has a, the most, the higher the pint count that it takes out of the air, the more water it pulls out of the space. So that's the key with that. Thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time here. It's 8:31 in the morning. First of all, number one rule about dishwashers. Before you run a dishwasher, what should you always do?
Open it.
No.
Close it.
No.
Put stuff in it.
No. Oh, my gosh. You, no wonder your dishwashers don't work.
What are you talking
about?
Run
the hot water in the faucet in the kitchen. How do you think
that,
where does the dishwasher get its water from?
So, Mr. Fix-It, you wait a minute here.
This is like the Bible.
But I think it would...
The hotter the water, the cleaner the dish. It's like I'm talking to infants here. There are people listening right now going, he's right, he's right, he's right.
Now back to Lou and the Mr. Fix-It Show.
You are not hearing this kind of radio anywhere else, just so you know.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You know, I'm very proud of you, Lindsay, for being able to... admit, you know, to be upfront with the fact that you're copying to the fact that
I'm wrong.
You were wrong.
I still
that's
am
a
not
big step
100%.
For you. Steve won't even talk. He's like,
I hate that promo.
It takes a strong woman and man to admit that they're wrong. I'm very proud of both of you.
Well, it's Pride Weekend.
All right, a bunch of things I need to talk to after 8:30 before we get to the chicken talk. First of all, Steve, you're still going to Scotland, and you told me that it's been extended, that there are still some seats for your Scotland trip, correct?
Well, it's, at the end, there's always a lot of people who say they're going to come and they're interested and stuff, but we've got about three or four more days and a few more spots. We extended, we don't have to tell the airlines now until June 30th,
okay. Just
how many of us there are. But we got, you know, pretty full group, but we still have some room if people want to join
Remind
us.
The listeners kind of a quick little itinerary of what the plan is.
September 28th, we take off for Scotland. It's a 9-day trip, and we'll see Edinburgh for a couple days. We'll go to Loch Ness. We'll see St. Andrews, the Isle of Skye. So some time up in the
Listen,
Highlands.
If you go to St. Andrews, remember I told you we went to the American Club, my wife and I, for our 25th wedding anniversary.
Right.
And they have a beer there called Digger. That evidently Mr. Kohler and the people from Guinness created. And the only two places you can get this beer is at St. Andrews and in Kohler, Wisconsin.
Really? It's called Digger?
Digger.
All right, well, we'll look for that.
It's delicious.
It's $3,300 for the tour. Hotels,
deal
airfare,
of the century.
Lots of dinners and breakfast every day. It's good. We have a great time. Every time we go on a trip with one of these guys, we have one of these trips, we just have a great time.
Haggis so. Every day, right?
You can have the haggis. I will not be. No, I might try the haggis. I won't wear the kilt. That's what I said.
You did say that.
More information, you can email me at stevebertrandonbooks@gmail.com or call at 847-606-6065.
Very nice. Okay, and then one other thing. You've got your business lunch, the Wintrust business lunch, coming up at noon today.
Yeah.
What do you have coming up then?
Okay, so we've got a bunch of stuff. We're going to talk to Brad Meltzer, who is a writer, and he actually wrote in a novel that Ronald Reagan used to carry a gun with him in his briefcase.
Really?
Yeah, and, you know, Brad's one of these guys. He does all these history books and things, and so he got some pushback, and Time magazine said it wasn't true. Well, I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock and had an email from Brad sending me the retraction from Time that it was true. Reagan carried a gun around.
Wow.
So we'll talk to him. He's the Steve Bertrand on Books podcast. That's coming up. But business-wise, too, have you heard of HelloFresh? Or Plated? Plated is another one?
No.
There are all these new companies springing up, I mean, over the past year or so, where they deliver to your home not the cooked meal, not the prepared meal, but the ingredients for the meal. And so you get this box, and it's got three dinners in it. It's got the HelloFresh is an elaborate sort of instruction booklet as to how to make the meal. And so I was reading about it, and then I got home one day and found out Sharon had signed us up.
No way.
Yeah, and so we've done it for a week, and it's really a cool thing. You get so we had peppers stuffed with succotash on Thursday night. So you get the little packet of fresh lima beans. You get the peppers. You get only exactly what you need to make for the recipe.
And how much is it?
It's more expensive than I'm comfortable with.
But it's
like $65 a week.
For how many meals?
For three meals. So you could definitely, you're not saving money.
And you have to prepare it.
Right. And so, but part of the beauty of that is, Lou, that cooking is sort of nurturing, right? And social and all of that. So you're getting fresh ingredients, you're getting interesting dinners, but you're still putting the work, investing in it a little bit yourself.
Well, and this goes to that whole idea, right? I think that isn't 2014 was the year where more people spent money in restaurants or buying meals than they did at the grocery store.
I believe that.
Yeah,
And so these people, these companies are really after millennials who want to cook and all of that maybe, or want to have good food, but don't want to eat at the fast food restaurant every night. So I'm going to talk to the vice president of marketing for HelloFresh, who just happens to be one of those. And coincidentally, now we're a customer. It's a very weird way it worked
out. And they're based here? Are they based
here? No, they started in Berlin. These companies all sort of started, I think, overseas.
Interesting.
And they're in New York now. But one other thing about, because I like the idea of investing in your cooking, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I was reading in one of these articles that when the cake recipes came out in the 50s, women weren't really drawn to them. Women were doing all the cooking then. They weren't drawn to it because you just added water to these cake recipes. They found if they also included an egg or a little butter, that people felt more like they were actually cooking the cake.
Hmm.
So they were more likely to go along.
Interesting.
So this is part of that.
Okay, I'm going to give you one other idea that I have today. So
that's not true. You're going to give me more than one.
No, but this kind of goes with your HelloFresh.
Uh-huh.
So I've had this concept for a restaurant that I wanted to, or not a restaurant, but a takeout place that I wanted to open up this business, but my wife wants nothing to do with the food service business.
Okay.
And I wanted
smart
to,
woman, I think.
I know. I wanted to call it Dinner Tonight. And so this is the idea. Somebody can go run with this, and then all I ask is that when you get up and make millions of dollars, you at least provide me with free meals.
Mm-hmm.
So you create a five-day-a-week menu. You know how the Seattle Suttons always talks about you do the Seattle Sutton and you save all, you know, it's all good for you.
Right.
And you only repeat a meal like three times in a year, which is amazing. If you did it all year or five times, whatever it is, right?
The Acapulco Taco Pie.
Right, which was Ron Santo's favorite. So the dinner tonight is you create a menu, three different choices of meals for each night, and you can go online, like there's an app, right? And you've done this, right? You call Sharon when the kids were home. What are we going to have for dinner? I don't know. I'll go to Dinner Tonight. They've got, and so you have healthy choices, but then there's also like mashed potatoes and meat, and meatloaf or something. It's always a good home thing. And
right.
And so in other words, you have to order it by 3 p.m. or 4 p.m., whatever. And it's typically, these are located near train stations or, you know, where people do a lot of commuting. And now you get off the train, like for you, you get off the train in Deerfield. And there's the dinner tonight. You walk in, oh, Bertrand, here you go. And you take the bag home and there's your meal ready to go, healthy, whatever. And you could subscribe to it or you could pick it up. And then there's also a freezer where there's some frozen options from the night before, right? Because it's like, well, I got all this meatloaf I didn't sell. We're going to package it all up. And you forgot. Now at least you go home and you throw it in the microwave and you've got this healthy idea.
Yeah, in a way, that's HelloFresh, but not really.
Not without the cooking.
Yours is more convenient, right? But
right.
With these, on Monday or Thursday or whatever the deadline is, you get a choice of five or six entrees, and you need to pick three for the next week.
I love it. Stay tuned for the business lunch with Steve Bertrand, the Wintrust business lunch coming up. At 12 o'clock today.
It's going to be at 12 today.
Oh, good. Is it at 12 all the time?
Almost every Saturday.
All right. So last week I had a caller about disclosing some work that they had done on their house without a permit. And I had said, well, don't worry about it. You know, if you did it fine, it's okay, whatever. Friend of mine, realtor up in Wisconsin, Bob Webster, thank you very much, said in Wisconsin, you have to disclose that. It's part of the disclosure. So Lindsay and I said, we got to have some realtors and lawyers come on, talk about this. And they were all chicken. None of them wanted to come on. They said, oh, well, I'm afraid I'm going to say something wrong. And what if somebody says something wrong and then I'm going to get sued or whatever? How about just helping people, for crying out loud? That's the business you're in. So I'm not going to name names, but you're all a bunch of chickens. So I have the disclosure form in front of me. I mean, all they got to do is read the darn form. It's not a big deal. And so in Illinois, you know, there are, the Illinois Association of Realtors has disclosure of information on things like radon hazards. There is, what are you, you can come chime in.
Well, they were just saying that there's a lot of gray area. But
the world is gray. The world is gray. Okay. It's not black and white. The world is gray. All you do is you preface it by saying, okay, look, there's a lot of gray stuff. Here's some of the things, but you should check with your lawyer and your whatever. You know, it's always like when I give advice on TV, they said, well, you never said this. What about this? I go, you know what? Give me a break. I get 2 minutes to talk about on TV, whatever. It's not like I can sit there at a, you know, we're having a drink at a bar.
Right.
I get 2 minutes. There's some onus on people themselves to, you know, Lou said, stick my finger in it and look what happened. You know what I mean? So, I mean, how about some personal responsibility from people? And don't go through life being a chicken. Oh, my God. You make sure that the one realtor that was going to come on gets a tape of this.
My realtor?
Yeah, right. Okay. So, there's all these forms. Basically, it goes to this. This is the underlying theme in all this. You got to be honest. Okay, you want to make sure that you're telling people. So in other words, I'm looking at the disclosure form right now for information on radon hazards. These are things that you need to know. And it says every buyer of any interest in a residential real property is notified that the property may present exposure to dangerous levels of indoor radon gas that may place the occupant at risk of developing radon-induced lung cancer. I mean, this is serious stuff. So you're not going to mess with this. You know, and it says seller's disclosure. You got to initial the following, which applies. Are there elevated radon concentrations that you know about? Can you provide, as the seller, the purchaser with the most current records and reports pertaining to elevated radon? Or the seller has no records or reports pertaining to this. The purchaser acknowledgement. I mean, these are all things that you have to go through. And then I have a long list on a big disclosure form, things like, I'm aware of flooding or reoccurring leakage problems in a crawl space or basement. For instance, Lindsay, we can say this in a, you know, you had a house that you guys were going to buy that, you know, floodplain thing is a big deal, right? Are you on a floodplain or whatever? That's part of the disclosure. Mm-hmm. And a particular said no, mm-hmm. we weren't. And then when you go to get the mortgage or whatever, they search this thing out and they say, well, as a matter of fact, you are, mm-hmm. right? And so your biggest fear on any house you buy is a flooded basement.
Right.
Right? Well, you have many. You have no idea the therapy sessions we go through on the phone together. And so,
thank God for you.
But I mean, the point is that you got to disclose that stuff and you got to be honest.
Absolutely.
And when you don't disclose, what happens is when
the house falls through.
You're right. The deal falls through,
right?
Because people don't want to mess with that. And,
no.
You know, like in the basement, I'm going to stop for a second and go back to the basement side. So, you know, PermaSeal, they want you to have a dry basement. People are like, I'm not going to worry about it. It leaks a little bit, whatever. When you go to sell that house and you got to disclose the fact, yeah, you know, when we get those 100-year rains, it leaks in the basement. We get 100-year rain every week, especially this summer, right? And so now you go to disclose and you want $250,000 for your house and you say, oh, the basement leaks. Oh, well, geez, I'm going to get an estimate. It's going to be $5,000. So now I'm going to give you $10,000. I'm going to give you $10,000 less. So now you're going, huh. Wow, now I got to pay for that anyway. But the whole point is, I've been living with the wet basement forever. Get it fixed. I'm aware of material defects in the well or equipment. These are just some of them. I'm aware of current infestations of termites and other wood-borne insects. I'm aware of structural defects caused by previous infestations. I am aware of boundary or lot line disputes. I've received notice of violation of local, state, or federal laws or regulations relating to this property, which violations have not been corrected. There's all these different things on these disclosure forms. If you're getting ready to sell a house or you're buying a house, you got to make sure that all this stuff checks out. Now, you're going to work with your professional realtor, and this is why you use a realtor, because they have all this experience. They've seen The mistakes happen. They've seen deals fall through. They know the lingo. They know what should be there. And then from there, you need a really good real estate attorney who's not a chicken, who will tell you the whole honest thing. And they're going to work together to make sure that you're going into a deal eyes wide open. Now, the fact of the matter is, all these things can be checked out, and you can still get screwed. So that's why you need those pros. And here it is right here on one of the real estate forums. It says, the purpose of this report is to provide prospective buyers with information about material defects in the residential real property. This report does not limit the party's right to contract for the sale of residential real property in an as-is condition. Under common law, sellers who disclose material defects may be under a continuing obligation to advise the prospective buyers about the condition of the residential real property even after the report is delivered. So basically, if you lie, oh no, the basement's dry, and then I'm in the house for 2 weeks and it leaks, that's your baby because you may have known. Don't lie. Be honest. Okay? And that's what these disclosure forms are all about. And so work with a professional realtor to help you. People are like, oh, I'm going to sell it myself. I don't have to pay the commission. I get it. You want to keep as much money as possible. But let me tell you, as Lindsay knows, right? You guys were looking for a house for a long time. I'd get a phone call. Oh, my gosh, we're going to look at this house in Glenview. And they would drive there and it would already be sold.
It's stiff competition.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, my gosh, we saw this house. It's the cutest house. They already have six offers.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you told me that a lot of times.
Multiple times.
Multiple times. And it's difficult. I mean, you both work. Your husband travels a lot for his work. So, you know, coordinating you two to see this, it's a full-time job. That's where a professional realtor is really going to help you. And a good lawyer is as well. But your first thing you got to ask them when you're deciding a lawyer or a realtor and say, do you know what this is? Are you not a chicken? And when they say, I'm not a chicken, then hire them. And I'm only explaining the chicken thing because nobody wanted to come on because they were afraid they were going to get in trouble.
A lot of gray.
It's a lot of gray.
We live in a gray world.
We do. But I mean, what is so wrong with what I just said?
Nothing.
Disclose. Be honest if you're selling. It's the great thing about telling the truth is it's the only story you have to keep straight. Okay? 8:52 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be back right after. 8:58 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is Debbie in Elmhurst. Hi, Debbie. You're on WGN.
Hi. How are you?
Terrific. How can I help you?
I have aunts. I need help. Aunts started like in April on my kitchen counter, and they kind of went away. And all of a sudden now they're in the top shelves of my cabinets. I don't know if they're coming in through the cabinet. And you know, everyone recommends that tarot.
Yes,
stuff.
Yes.
I put that out and you're supposed to attract them and the ants go around it. Nothing is going to it. And I don't have a lot of ants. I have maybe 6 at a time, 10 at a time. And where I'm seeing them, Lou, is they go across, you know, above the kitchen sink where you have the little scallop piece of wood for decoration.
Yep.
I see them walking across there, so I can't put tarot there because it's not a flat surface.
Okay, so which tarot are you using?
I'm using the tarot. It's like a gel that you put on the little cardboard.
Okay, so there's an ant. There is an ant bait station that they make that will work. And it looks like, do you remember the Kraft cheese and crackers as a kid where you would rip it open and you had the little cheese and the little butter cracker and the little plastic knife?
Yes.
It kind of looks like that.
Okay. Yeah.
When's the last time you had that?
The cheese and crackers?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I know. We should all have those because it makes you remember like you're a kid. Anyway, you cut that with a pair of scissors. And you place that right in the direction of where they're coming. It will attract them. And it's a more, what's the word? A more robust group of collection of the juice that they're going to drink and take back to the queen. And it will work. And you got to give it about a week. But you got to cut. And so that it's the little bait stations, not the one that you use the cardboard on. Because I think what happens with the cardboard is when they're really tiny ants, they don't want to climb up over the cardboard. I don't know why. but that's what it is.
And I do have Raid. Now, this is when April, when I first saw them on the countertop, I bought Raid Double Control Ant Base, and they're like those cheese and cracker things, but they go around it. They don't go in.
Yeah. The other one is there's a spray that Raid makes called Raid Max Bug Spray. That is a barrier that you can use. You just have to follow the instructions if it's anywhere near food. But if you use those bait stations from Taro, I know they will work. I absolutely do. Thanks so much for the phone call. That tone you heard, man, it was 901. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com.
Time to get to work this weekend. Got a question for Lou? Give us a call right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Oh, you know it's gotta go. It's such a 9:09 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and by Ace Hardware. Oh, this is a good song. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. WGN Radio is very proud to sponsor the LGBTQ community. Come see us in the Pride Parade kicking off at noon this Sunday, Chicago's Lakeview neighborhood. We're happy to announce that we've got the cup as a partner with the Chicago Blackhawks. We'll be hosting the Stanley Cup on our float. Wow, that's cool. This year's theme of the 46th Annual Pride Parade is Color the World with Pride. Performance artist Elliot Fraham and Artbeat Live is joining us on the float. We'll be giving you a chance to color your walls with pride by winning one of his original paintings, thanks to Jewel Osco. Here's how you can win. Instagram with hashtag WGNRadioPride this Sunday, and one of the Artbeat Live paintings could be yours. Get details and see our interviews with the Baton Club performers talking LGBTQ pride online at WGNRadio.com/pride. And one other thing, the 18th Annual Catholic Charities Golf Invitational is July 22nd. It's going to be emceed by my old friend, NBC meteorologist Andy Avalos, benefiting Catholic Charities Family Services. The golf outing is at Cog Hill and Country Club, emceed, as I said, by Andy. It's an all-day event, features an open driving range, hot breakfast, grilled lunch, hole-in-one prizes, skill contests, celebrity contest holes, followed by refreshing cocktails and a steak dinner. New this year is the inaugural Golf Invitational Women's Tournament. Individual golf starts at $375, $300 for women. Sponsorships are available. All tickets support the Catholic Charities Child, Youth, and Family Services. They're offered a full range of early childhood education centers for low-income families. It's at July 22nd, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., Cog Hill and Country Club, which is in Lamont, Illinois. If you'd like information, you can go to Catholic Charities website, catholiccharities.net. You can call 312-655-7010. 312-655-7010 if you would like to participate. It's a terrific organization helping people all across the Chicagoland area. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Back to the phone lines. This is Noreen in Marengo. Noreen, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi there. Since you're talking about chickens or birds, I have a blackbird flying into my bedroom windows continuously. What can I do to keep him away?
You mean they just keep slamming into the windows?
Right.
And what's on those windows? Do they have any window treatments on them whatsoever?
I do, but it doesn't make any difference if they're open or closed.
Okay. So there's got to be some kind of reflection going, and they are such creatures of habits that they think they can fly around it. If you could put some stickers on that window temporarily, I'm trying to think of...
Well, let me tell you before you go too much farther. Right. Just this morning, I put made out of paper, like a bird on there. Someone told me that would scare them away.
Yeah, and it didn't.
It did not.
Okay. Then something else. This window that they keep flying into, is it a first story or second story?
First.
Okay. So you know how you can buy those, not a pinwheel, but you know things that you can hang that spin in the wind?
Yes.
What would you call those? What do you call that? You know, like a pin, not a pinwheel. Pinwheel is a thing on a, well, a pinwheel would work too. We need some motion out there, okay? So if you could, is it a double hung window?
What do you mean double hung?
Do you pull, do you open the window by grabbing the window sash and pulling up?
No, no.
It's a crank out?
Crank out.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you could come up with some type of way to, like a little piece of, how could we get this? Like a little piece of metal or, let me think of what we could form in there. If you got a little lightweight piece of metal that you could bend and close the window on it, that you could hang a little thing that would spin around in the wind, you know, like a little decoration that's a lawn decoration, and hang it right in front of that window. But it needs to be separated from the window, meaning that it's not touching the glass. It's, you know, a couple inches away. And as it's kind of flying back and forth, that's going to scare that bird away.
Okay.
We just got to do that for a few days so that he goes and flies into somebody else's window.
Right.
All right?
Right. Okay.
Good luck with that.
I'll see what I can do. Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate you calling this morning. This is John in South Holland. John, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning, Lou.
How can I help you, sir?
A number of years ago, started stripping woodwork on the second floor of this old home that we purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And with the odors and some of the stuff we used was just not very effective. Well, now I'm retired and I've got more time, and I'd like to get started on that project again, but I don't want anything that we're going to be keeping every window in the house open and maybe moving out for a day or two to get rid of the smell.
So what are you stripping?
It's oak hardware from a home that's built in the 20s. It has been rental property over the years, and so there's numerous coats of paint, all types, all it comes off at all different consistencies.
On the oak trim.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. All right. door frames. And baseboards.
And what have you been using prior to that? What kind of stripper? Real heavy duty chemical strippers?
Oh yeah, yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about citrus strip? Have you used that?
No, I have not. I have not gone out and looked for anything, you know, in probably 20 years.
All right. Now you've got a bunch of work still to do, right?
Right.
All right.
Yes.
Lindsay, build clean. Remember when we did the build clean thing? Yes?
I do.
Okay. She's not. Remember, it's radio. You got to talk. She's nodding to me. Yes, yes, yes. So two things I want you to consider. Go buy a gallon jug of citrus strip, which is a citrus-based stripper. That is not as caustic, and it smells like oranges, quite frankly, when you use it. Now, the thing is, John, it's not going to be as aggressive as, say, a Zip Strip or something like that, because it's not a harsh chemically-based stripper. So you may use a few more coats, but it's going to be so much less harmful for you to breathe.
Okay.
Then there's an item, a tool, that we talked about as, was it a Noodaloo 2 that we did this?
It was actually an interview.
Yep. So there's a company that makes this machine called Build Clean, which is an air filter for job sites. Now, it's really designed more for dust in the air, but it's also going to grab that particulate because, you know, you've got lead in that paint for sure.
Oh, for sure.
So you got to make sure you're wearing a respirator and you're wearing eye protection in the whole nine yards. So this might be, since you got a little more time on your hands and you're worried about making sure you're safe, this might be something to invest in, to use in the space that you're working in, to kind of constantly scrub the air to help the odor. And then you use this citrus strip. It'll control the odor even more. And, you know, you'll get a little bit at a time, and you'll get it all done.
BuildClean.com is the website.
Build,
build,
buildclean.com is the website.
Okay.
All right. And citrus strip you'll find at the hardware store.
Okay, got time for one more quick one?
Sure.
There are maple floors in the bedrooms on the second floor. And we tore out the carpet years ago, just put area rugs down. And now I'd like to get, after I finish the stripping, don't want to go through the process of stripping the floors again. But there's a lot of scratches and little defects in it in the bedrooms. It was recommended to me by somebody to get something called Renews-It.
Rejuvenate is a floor system. It's a whole system of products to help you bring those floors back to life. One of their products is actually a urethane product that, for you, it sounds like you've got some skill set here, would be the better way to go because it's more longer lasting.
Okay.
And the thing is, a lot of these floor companies now, because came out with products to help eliminate scratches and, kind of bring a floor back to life. Bonachemi is another company that has a floor polish. But what happened was the urethane, you got to really pay attention when you put it down. If you screw it up, you got to strip the floor. Yeah. And so Bona found that a lot of people were messing it up, and then they were like, hey, my floor looks terrible, and it was really the application process that was the problem. So they went with this floor polish that's a little more forgiving. However, it doesn't last as long.
Mm.
The Rejuvenate people came out with a urethane floor polish to take out those little imperfections, bring the shine back. But if you screw it up, you got 48 hours that you can remove it.
Oh.
See what I mean? You get done with the room, and the next day you look and you're like, oh my gosh, is there a Mrs. John?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. John, you missed that whole spot over there. Right?
What is that? That sounds familiar.
And so now you can go either touch it up, or if you really screwed it up, you have 48 hours to take it all out and then start over again. So Rejuvenate Floor Systems, and they have a urethane product that'll do great for you.
That sounds great.
All right, you have a great day.
Okay, thanks.
9:20 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We'll be back right after these. Okay, can I please put this on the record now saying that I want to go do my radio show from the Ishnala Supper Club?
Yes, I'm in. I think you've said this before.
Okay, but why hasn't it been done yet? Here's what we want to do, okay? I want to get on a bus with some listeners on a Friday, okay? We're going to go up to Wisconsin Dells, and we're going to, this is going to take a little coordination. We're going to get some listeners, and they're going to pay to do this. It's going to be some charity angle to this, okay? Nothing's free anymore. But then we're going to go up there, and we're going to have dinner at the Ishnala Supper Club. How many listeners could we take, Lindsay?
30.
30 people, okay? We're going to have dinner at the Ishnala Club. We're going to have a Brandy Alexander, which you're good to go. We'll wait until you're done with this baby so you can drink, because you love a good Brandy Old Fashioned.
Old Fashioned.
Right?
Yes.
And then we're going to have dinner at the Ishnala Supper Club, and we're going to spend the night at the Wisconsin Dells at some water park, because that's all they have up there. Then in the morning, this is the best part. Mike Steven, who does that, what's his show called? Outside the Loop?
Yes.
He's going to go up the night before, and he's going to do some tape pieces and learn all about Wisconsin Dells and Ishnala. So then he's going to do his show at 6 in the morning, okay, after he has a few Brandy Alexanders and Old Fashions. And then we're going to do the show, and after the show we get on the bus, we come back home. Right?
I'm in.
A fish fry up in Wisconsin? Right? Who's not with me?
That's awesome.
I'm joined this morning by Betty and David Kane, who were at some charity event, the two of you, and for some reason you got talked into buying at a silent auction to come sit in for an hour of the show.
Right. Right.
Thank you very much. Tell me what the organization was that you were participating in.
It was Embers Elementary. They were located in Park Ridge, and now they are in Niles.
Okay.
They are a Catholic-based grade school. preschool through fifth grade.
Nice. And you guys were at the auction, and there was
There was a silent auction, and I bid on the Mr. Fix-It show.
Because nobody else bid on it? No, we'll get this for free.
There was a gentleman.
$25.
He was hanging around, and he was trying to outbid me, but I swooped in and got him right before.
Very nice. And your donation obviously went to go help that organization, which
is great. Scholarship money for the
children.
Very
nice. Nice to have you both in here this morning. And we were talking off the air, and David was like, I got a question. I go, save it. It's a radio show. What's your question?
Okay, on roofing shingles, there's a on the other underside, there's a tab, there's a strip on there.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're all out of time. No, keep going. I'm kidding.
that there's a tar that's, I always thought they were supposed to pull that strip off so the tar could bond to the other shingle.
You mean the little shiny piece of plastic?
Plastic,
no,
yes.
They don't rip that off.
Then what good does it?
It does. It oozes out from underneath it once it sets.
Oh, because I recently was up on my roof, and I've got the roof that I have up there is like 10 years old.
Right.
And there's no oozing going on with those shingles. You know, yeah, the strip,
but they're connected.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So think about it. When those things are packed, if they...
Oh, right.
They have to keep it there so they can separate. But then it oozes out and connects through that. It kind of breaks down a little bit, and it's just enough to hold it.
Okay.
And over time, it becomes sort of this monolith of tar and holds it all self together. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you don't have to peel that off.
Okay. Well, the only place I did have a
now I'm really out of time. Oh, no, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Okay. built a home in Wisconsin for
me. You invite these people in, Lindsay, they won't be quiet. They just keep talking.
Take over the show.
Really?
But he had stripped them. He had stripped off the plastic on there so that they would bond.
He had a lot of time on his hand.
Probably.
You don't have to do that.
Okay.
Well, very nice of you to be here. We like having you here, and glad that you helped support that organization, which is great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
nice
you.
To see you here. All right, it's 9:31 in the morning. You know, if Steve, the reason we're late is because David just won't stop talking.
I know. I just tell him to rip those tabs off and move on.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
We don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Really? Oh, time now for our Just Text Me segment, 9:37 in the morning. We got people vibing about the centipede, which is good. The reviews so far are good when they look at it. It's a really cool idea. I think that the people at Ravinia should buy several of them for portable tables.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you put a tablecloth over the top of it, it's going to be a fabulous table.
One of those little, candle chandelier things in the middle, or not the chandelier. What are those things called in the middle?
A luminaire. Yeah.
We went on Thursday night to see Sheryl Crow.
Where? Ravinia?
Uh-huh.
Was she fabulous?
She has got a kicking body. She's 53.
Oh my. Yeah, she looks amazing.
What do you mean by 53?
Well, she's got a body of like a 25-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a talented
She's very
lady.
Talented.
Yeah.
It was really fun. A little chilly.
Was it?
A little rainy.
Really? Oh, it was rain. Well, yeah, that's all it does is rain. Mm-hmm. Right. You should, at the PermaSeal offices, they have a smile. They look like the Joker.
No,
there's some big smiles on their faces. What's going on with Just Text Me?
Alrighty, 312. What is the best way to take off the carpet padding on wood floors? The padding is like adhesed down to the floor.
Well, unfortunately, you know, the thing is, if you go at it with some type of adhesive remover, it is going to be a mess. You're going to ruin the finish. If you want to try something to just see if you can do it, take super hot water, put it in a pump sprayer, and spray the pad, and then use as wide of a plastic putty knife as you can to try and scrape it up with the grain of the wood and see if you can scrape it up. But more than likely, they put a little adhesive underneath there. If that doesn't work, your only choice is to resand the whole floor with a super aggressive paper, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know the answer is not. I love that. You're like, that's not the answer they wanted.
No.
Right. Okay.
630, I'm curious your thoughts on replacing a 4-inch round drain with a French drain to prevent flooding in a walk-up basement.
Well, I mean, the problem with the French drain idea, it can work, but for instance, you look at all the moisture that we've gotten so far. The ground is so saturated, depending on what the soil conditions are around, in and around your home. If it's a lot of clay and you dig down a French drain, and let's say you dig up that drain and you create a garbage can diameter hole and you fill it with gravel and then you finish it off with the size of the drain. I don't care if it's 3 or 4. With this kind of rain, it can only take so much water. So in the couple rains that we've had where it rained all day long, the ground gets so saturated that there's just no place to put the water. So could it work normally? Yeah. Would it work for normal rains where it rains for a couple hours or even 3 hours and it takes it? But then if the next day it rains again, it really is. We're in a very interesting weather pattern.
Yeah.
And it's so much moisture that it can only go, it can only take so much. The ground is just full of water.
Right.
So, I mean, really, in something like that, you almost need a pump system, which is a little bit more elaborate, to then pump it into something.
You're full of good news today.
I know. Sorry. Well, I mean, I'm just trying to tell people the truth.
I know.
What's the great thing about telling the truth, Lindsay?
It's the only story you have to keep straight.
Correct.
847, our lawn is being invaded by various mushrooms. Any idea how to get rid of them?
Yeah, move to Arizona.
Invite the Grateful Dead fans over.
Next weekend.
I did get that. I've gotten that question a lot. It is due to the excessive moisture. The mushrooms, there's really nothing to put down on it. We just need things to dry out. If you have in particular low spots where this is a consistent problem, even when we don't get this kind of rain, then what you can try doing there is adding some topsoil to actually build up the soil a little bit in that area and then add additional grass seed to build it up. Because if you don't, the mushrooms are going to keep coming back and that's the issue. But if you've never had this issue before and you're like, wow, I've never had these mushrooms, it's because it rains so much.
Okay, and lastly, 269, how do I eliminate black mold on fiberglass insulation in the basement and black mold in the bathroom?
Say that again.
Okay, how do I eliminate black mold on fiberglass insulation in the basement?
Stop. Say that. Insulation you're going to tear out and throw away.
Ugh.
Secondly?
Black mold in the bathroom.
So black mold in the bathroom on more rigid surfaces, you're going to use Concrobium mold control.
Honk, honk.
And spray that on there, do a little scrubbing, spray it on again. There's a layer that stays there to help it grow. But any kind of mold or mildew that accumulates on insulation, you got to grab that, toss it.
Toss it.
Don't even mess with it. You can't clean that off. You can replace it later once it's dry, but do not try and clean it at all.
That's our Just Text Me.
All right. Thank you. 9:42 in the morning, 312-981-7200. This is Bill and Huntley. Bill, you're on WGN. Thank you so much for hanging on.
Yeah, thank you. The wife and myself, we always listen to you on Saturday. You do a heck of a job.
God bless you.
First question. I'm on a small ranch. I'm on a slab. And I have to wait 3 to 4 minutes before the water really gets warm for the washing dishes and stuff like that, or taking a shower. Is there any way I can eliminate that?
Okay. Do you have a basement?
No, I'm on a slab.
You're on a slab. And how far away is the kitchen from the water heater?
Approximately 20 to 25 feet.
And where is the bathroom that you got to wait forever in relationship to the kitchen?
Approximately the same.
Okay. Do they share a wall, a plumbing wall, or you're not sure?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay. How handy of a guy are you there, Bill?
Pretty handy.
Okay. There is a system that you can buy. You may have to order it from the hardware store, or you can get it at a plumbing supply house, called a Watts recirculating pump system.
Okay.
W-A-T-T-S.
Okay.
On the top of your water heater, you're going to put this pump on the hot water pipe coming out.
Okay.
And it has a timer. And then there's a solenoid that you're going to install between the cold and hot water feeds underneath your kitchen sink and or in that bathroom, whichever is further away.
Okay.
And that solenoid, what's going to happen is that pump with the timer, I mean, are you typically, Bill, on a regular schedule with your life? In other words, I usually go to bed at 11 o'clock at night type of thing?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, so at 11 o'clock at night, the pump's going to turn off. You're going to set the timer. And what time do you get up in the morning?
Approximately 7.
Okay, so at 6:45, the pump's going to kick back on.
Oh.
And it's going to circulate that water through that solenoid. It's going to trickle the hot through the cold, so it keeps the hot ready to go.
Oh, I get the idea.
Right? And this whole system is going to cost you less than $300.
Beautiful.
And if you're handy and you've messed around with plumbing before, you can do this. It's really a terrific system.
Okay. Another fast question, Lou. Mm-hmm. Dishwasher has an element on the bottom.
Yeah.
And I know it's a heating element.
Yeah.
Do I have to heat the water before I do the dishes, or can I let the cold water in there and it'll maybe be thermatic, it heats up with the thermostat?
Lindsay, were you listening to Bill at all?
Pardon me?
Hold on. I want to see if Lindsay was listening. Could you say the thing of what you want to do now? What was the question?
There's an element in a dishwasher.
Right.
All right. I'm usually letting the water get a little warm before I start the dishwasher.
You run the hot water before you run the dishwasher.
The phone lines are very busy in here. I can't hear this.
Bill, the reason that I'm joking with you is because we had this conversation a couple weeks ago. The hotter the water, the cleaner your dishes. And so you should run the hot water at your sink until it's hot, hot, hot. Then fire it up, because here's what happens. That heating element does heat the water.
Okay.
But it uses more energy and takes longer to run the cycle if you make it heat up and do everything.
Now, I hope my wife is listening at the end of the room, because I always heat up the water before I turn on the dishwasher. And I says it's better that way, because the element does not draw that much amperage.
You know what? I've never known her happier, Bill.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Every time you say, the hotter the water.
Yeah.
You know that saying, the bigger the better, the tighter the...
Okay, never mind.
Every time
you're like the Louis Prima song. All right, it's 9:46 in the morning. We'll be back right after this.
Happy trails to you.
That's it for the Mr. Fix-It Show. Until time for our last caller, 9:51 in the morning. And our last call is Jeff in Mount Prospect. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Fix, how are you doing?
Good. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, sir. I have a new asphalt driveway that has a few depressions, and we're concerned that they may collect water or snow in the wintertime via a slip hazard. And then also we're concerned that it may degrade the driveway over time.
How new is the asphalt driveway?
Like 2 months.
Oh, well, then I'd get the whoever put it in to come back.
Yeah, they know about it. We've talked to them about it, but it's been over a month, and they don't return a phone call. We're wondering if we should take legal action, too.
Well, I mean, I think before I'd go the route of getting legal action, I think I'd take a bunch of pictures, and I would call them once again and or email them once again and say, I've got this problem. You know, this thing obviously wasn't prepared correctly, because we already have depressions here, and I need you guys to come out and fix it, and I need you to respond to me in the next 30 days. And if they don't respond in 30 days, then you take the option of either talking to the Better Business Bureau or take legal action. I'm going to tell you, when you start going down that road, Jeff, you know, nothing positive comes out of it, in the sense that it creates this relationship that's antagonistic and everybody's pointing fingers, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We want to try and get these guys to respond and hopefully give them the benefit of the doubt that they're super busy now, because that's how the asphalt world goes. But you need to put a timeline on when they come and do this work. And say, in 30 days, I'm going to, you know, to go to the next level, please respond. Hold on a minute, because as our last caller, I'm going to send you out a White Rogers Sensi Wi-Fi thermostat to monitor and control your home's temperature from your smartphone anywhere in the world. American Weathermakers, recognized as the experts in heating and cooling for 65 years, visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. If I could just be a proud father for 1 second, if you don't mind. I'm proud of all my children, but our youngest son, Max, who's 14 years old, participates in this theater group near our house called the Edge of the Wood Theater. It's a performing arts theater that's community theater, and he's been doing it now for maybe about a year or so. And they did a performance last night. It was the second one, where they did the Addams Family.
Oh, what fun.
Right? And he plays Lurch.
Is he exceptionally tall?
Well, he's tall, but okay. He also wears these 6-inch platform shoes that they created with him, right? And so he spends the whole, almost the entire performance, deadpanned, you know, black eyes and whatever. And he sings this song at the very end, kind of wrapping the whole story. First of all, the cast is amazing. This young man, I believe his name is Colin, who played Gomez, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. is just exceptional. The whole cast is exceptional.
Oh, what a fun show.
And as a parent, what's really fun, I was there, some friends came last night, and a girl who's like a niece to me, who's in college, she says, "You couldn't pay me $1,000 to get up on that stage and sing a song. I wouldn't do it. There's no way in the world I would do that." And our son Max, if he was here right now and I said, "Could you stand up in this counter and sing a song?"
He'd do it
in a minute. He feels so at peace up on the stage.
Cool.
And it's so fun as a parent to watch that.
Yeah.
Right?
And so, you know, that's for a lot of people their biggest fear is speaking or performing publicly.
Right.
So your son must have dropped down to his biggest fear is...
But wait a minute, his father His father was in theater, right, Lou?
Yeah. I mean,
you can relate to
that. And I think any of my kids, I don't think that my daughter Carmen, I don't know, loves to public speak, but certainly our daughter Mallory or Quinn could do it in a second. But
right. It's
just so first of all, to just see these kids up there doing their thing is so cool. It takes a lot of guts. And
the
women that run that theater, it's been around, I think, since 2000, just do a fabulous job. And it was a lot of fun. So
what a neat thing.
Very proud of all those kids, and in particular, our little guy.
So
Max.
What's the theater company, and where can people go see
it? It's called
Lurch?
Edge of the Wood Theater.
Okay.
It's in the Wildwood neighborhood.
Okay.
And there's a couple performances this weekend as well. So
check it out.
$5.
So it's
really
not
nice.
Outside with mosquitoes and
No. It's inside this little
very
basement.
Very literal.
They do such a wonderful job with the costumes and everything. It's just really, really good.
Oh, what fun.
And we were just talking, I know you're going to talk about how expensive it is to have a friend.
Yeah, no, being married.
Who's getting married.
Yeah,
right.
Lindsay said, you're way off.
It's more.
She's got a friend, a really dear friend of hers. She's like, $600, I'd do that twice and I would be happy.
Oh, that crazy. Crazy, crazy.
We're over celebrating.
Do you remember, did you have the era when you were in that mode when everybody was getting married where you had a wedding every weekend? Do you remember that years and years and years ago?
Yeah. There's an age.
There's an age where
us it was much earlier. I mean, for us it was people were getting married right out of college.
Right.
As soon as they found out they were pregnant, they were getting married.
There you go.
Yeah, that's not a big thing anymore.
Very funny.
Have a lovely show and a great weekend, ladies.
Thanks, Lou. You too. It's 10 o'clock. You heard the beep. And that means it's time for WGN Radio News. Here's Steve Bertrand.
It is now sunny at O'Hare, and the latest temperature reading is 61 degrees. The Confederate flag is flying in front of the South Carolina State House again.